stage is yours. If you'd like to start, Corbin Chowdhury, thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Today, I will share some experience here in India, whatever our nation is facing currently. So I'm going to start few points. I might forget some, but I will mention some few points, but key points that will help you to understand what is the exact situation here in India. So can I start? Some words like genocide, murder, you want people to die, we are ashamed. Such harsh words have seldom been heard in living memory. But these words belong to the different high courts in the country for the government's management of one of the greatest crises of the nation. On March 11, 2020, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. Since then, the disease has spread to more than 200 nations of the world. Today, as we speak, over 16 crore people have been affected by the virus and over 33 lakh patients have been died in this disease worldwide. China had been the first country with a widespread outbreak in January last year. And South Korea, Italy, Iran, America, England, France, and many best-known nations have struggled to keep the virus under check. It may begin with a mild fever, leading of loss of smell and taste, and then to breathing difficulties. Today, as we stand and speak, the disease is ravaging many parts of our nation, and many of our acquaintances and close ones took succumbing to it. It is interesting how the disease progresses. Our lungs contains air sac, where the inhaled oxygen reaches before it gets distributed to the various organs of our body. Imagine a well which one needs to fill with water. We try to fill it, but the well has developed a hole. Gradually, one hole leads to another till there are multiple holes. Now, when we pour the water, the well is unable to store it. Same applies for this kind of disease. The virus penetrates into the air sacs, develops holes, and reduces its capacity to hold the oxygen. No matter what amount of oxygen is provided, the patient cannot have a cure until the holes in the air sacs are repaired. The virus resists to the repair. The damage is faster than it can be repaired. The most critical cases have led to an overwhelming number of patients being admitted into the intensive care units of hospitals, leading to a failure of the healthcare system. At this point, India is the worst affected nation with cases stepping in and around 4 lakhs per day. I am telling these some statistics I will share that is captured on 22nd of May when I have drafted this version of presentation. So at that time, it was 4 lakhs per day that the cases has arises. With the rise of death and having no known treatment, many countries have to shut their borders, ban travels to and from other countries, and begin to issue orders for their citizens to stay at home with no gathering. In India, the state have at different times imposed lockdowns following the 3 months total lockdowns last year. Schools and colleges have remained closed, airlines have cut flights, tourism has evaporated. Restaurants, movie theaters, and bars have been closed. Theater production cancelled, manufacturing facilities, services, and retail store shut down. India needs to fight back. And in its hours of need, it is not alone. Even countries like Bangladesh, who once received from us are now having the pleasure to returning the favor. India has been receiving a lot of aid from around the world. For instance, Switzerland has sent 600 oxygen concentrators and 50 ventilators. Netherlands has sent 100 oxygen concentrators and 60 ventilators. Bangkok has provided 4 cryogenic containers. If we take the foreign contribution, we have received 6,000 oxygen concentrators, 3,500 oxygen cylinders, 928,000 masks, and 136,000 remdesivir. Within the country, the RBI has promised to give a 50,000 crore liquidity window for health sector. Swiss Bank has promised to contribute $1.5 million. Citigroup has provided 200 crores. Star Health Insurance will be giving 50 crores. Indigo Airlines are lifting concentrators from around the world and distributing them in different parts of the country. In terms of oxygen, the daily production in India is around 7,200 metric tons. Over 50,000 to 1 lakh metric tons left to be used. It's just like as food grains in cold storage. Yes, Indians are suffering, are dying. What is amiss? Management is serious and throughout planning. The different high courts are raising their concerns, but even they are not able to make a planning list the bit of system that is even available at this point may crash. Then, what can be done in this regard? Well, there are two systems within India that reach into the depth and breadth of the country. One is the rationing system and the other one is banking system. What if we can use this system for vaccination? There are over 5.5 lakh ration shops. In these shops, people will come. They need the food grains. What if we vaccinate them there? Today, there are 2 lakhs ATMs, 88,443 government banks branches. What if we can convert a part of them for vaccination? What if we can employ 30 lakhs elected representatives from state and center and 2.75 crore states and central government employees? They are all being paid from the variable part of capital. That means capital money. In these situations of emergency, country urge them to show their gratitude, do their service for humanity. But unfortunately, even the health minister of the country has no clue as to the real number of beds or ventilators or oxygen cylinders. He has made claims which, well, pick up any data will prove it to be false. Let us take an example. In a recent press conference, the minister has said that there were 488,161 ICU beds at present, which is patient occupied. 1,48,000 ventilators and around 9.4 lakh oxygen cylinders. However, taking together both government and private hospitals, there are not even 1 lakh ICU beds and not even 7 lakhs oxygen cylinders, big and small taken together. India had 48,000 ventilators before the pandemic. PM Care had ordered 58,500 ventilators, out of which only 30,000 ventilators are available. Even if we considered that all the ventilators are running, they are adding up to only 78,000. Very much is contrast to a health minister claims of 1,48,000 ventilators. What does this lead to? Corrupt business, holding and selling them, a price beyond people, pocket and our imagination. There is no central policing to control this rampant black marketing happening in various parts of the country. Oxygen cylinders, concentrators, even oximeters are the new currency. Exploitation through black marketing, a new flourishing business. Inability to control is a novel addition to the center's lost catalog of failures. Understand that there were and are so many more pressing issues for the Modi government to attend to. Sorry. Destroying the last vestiges of democracy, persecuting non-Hindu minorities, and consolidating the foundations of the Hindu nation. Urgent constitutions of massive complexes in Assam for millions of people in Assam who have lived there for generations and have suddenly been stripped of their citizens. There was a inauguration of a new Ram temple in Ayodhya and the passing of farm bills to corporatize agriculture. Then there is a multi-million dollar plan for the grand new replacement for the fading grandeur of New Delhi's imperial center of the urgently attend to. After all, how can the government of the new Hindu India be housed in old buildings? While Delhi is locked down, ravaged by the pandemic, construction work on the Central Vista project declared as an essential service has begun. Maybe they can alter the plans to add a crematorium. There is also Kumbh Mela to be organized so that millions of Hindu pilgrims could crowd together in a small town to bathe in the Ganges and spread the virus even-handedly as they returned to their homes across the country. Blessed and purified. Sorry. Interestingly, the media has remained so passive and silent on this issue, unlike their vociferous voicing against the Tabligh Jamaat last year. There was also those few thousands Rohingya refugee who had to be urgently deported back to the genocidal regime in Myanmar from where they had fled in the middle of a coup. Once again, our independent Supreme Court has concurred with the government's views. Over and above all these urgent activities, there is an election to be won in the state of West Bengal. This required our Home Minister to more or less abandon his cabinet duties and focus all his attentions of Bengal for months to disseminate his party's murderous propaganda, to pit human against human in every little town and village. Geographically, West Bengal is a small state. The election could have taken place in a single day and has done so it in the past. But since it is a new territory for the BJP and the party needed time to move its cadres, many of whom are not from Bengal, from constituency to overseas the voting. There are shockingly 8 phases of election at the time when the number of corona infected in the country were rising. The other political parties pleaded with the election commission to rethink the election schedule. The commission refused and come down hard on the side of BJP, and the campaign continued. Who hasn't seen BJP star campaigner, the Prime Minister himself, mustless thanking people for coming out in the unprecedented numbers at a time when the infections were rocketing upward of 2 lakh cases daily? The voting is over. Bengal has become the new corona cauldron with a new triple mutant strains known as Bengal strains. the BJP has declared that if it wins Bengal, it will ensure people get free vaccination. And if he doesn't, there is no comments actually. Anyway, what about vaccines? Surely they will save us. Isn't India a vaccine powerhouse? In fact, the Indian government is entirely dependent on two manufacturers, the Serum Institute of India and Bharat Biotech. Both are being allowed to roll out two of the most expensive vaccines in the world to the poorest people in the world. They will be selling the vaccines to private hospitals at an elevated price and government hospitals only slightly less. Back to the envelope calculation. So the vaccine campaigns are likely to make obscene profits. When Europe and the US were suffering through the peak of the second wave of the pandemic, Modi had not one word of sympathy to offer. Only a long, gloating, vast amount about India's infrastructure and COVID-19 pre-pandemic. He said, friends, I have bought the message of confidence, positivity, and hope from 1.3 billion Indians amid these times of apprehension. It has predicted that India would be the most affected country from corona all over the world. It was said that there would be a tsunami of corona infections in India. Somebody said 700 to 800 million Indians would get infected, while others said 2 million Indians would die. It would not be advised to judge India's success with that of another country. In a country which is home to 18% of the world population, the country has saved humanity from a big disaster by containing corona effectively. Modi, the magician, takes the bow for saving humanity by containing the virus effectively. Now that it turns out that he has not contained it. Rather, he allowed it to consume the lives of millions through hypocrisy, hatred, idiocy, and anti-science. Every frames his band of qualities. There are markets for other things too. There is a bribe to snake, at least a last look in the hospital mortality, a surcharge for a priest who agrees to say the final prayers. Online medical consultancies where desperate families are flooded by the ruthless doctor. People turning into paupers, paying the private hospital's bills. Well, in some state like UP, if anyone has a corona, a simple message for them: do yourself a favor and die without complaining. Your family member will be spread and your body will float in the holy Ganges. Now, let's come to some numbers. How many dead, how many recovered, how many are infected? The center boasts of its precision in their daily reports. Questions is, how can they even know? Tests are hard to come by. Even in Delhi, the number of COVID-19 protocols, funerals from graveyards and crematorium in a small nose and cities suggest a death toll up to 30 times higher than the official count. Doctor who are working outside the metropolitan areas can tell the how it is, the situation. A civilized society is known by how it treats its dead. Today, we find dead bodies floating in the water bodies, which is not only a grave offense against the dignity of human beings, but also a threat to the environment and billions of people who regularly use their water for drinking, bathing, cooking purposes. Now, let us come to the economy of India. IMF has once said that India will bounce back. In a very recent statement, the same IMF has said that by the end of 2021, India will be 99% in debits, meaning that India's debits will be almost equal to its annual GDP. India's economy has already been reeling with demonetization, GST, and the lockdown. Now its health has declined so much that it can be compared in nations like Brazil and the other Latin American countries. India's unorganized sector, around 41 crore people, there have been directly and indirectly harmed. Over 75,000 white-collar people have been affected due to bank mergers in some way or the other. The migrant workers were prepared to die on their way back during COVID. That is one of the greatest humanitarian crises last year. India is the nation with the highest number of youths, but these youths are not finding any jobs, not even getting a fair chance to compete in school, college, or other exams. There are over 40 crore Indians in the age group of 15 to 44. The largest section is facing is the point completely or distinguished unemployment. They are standing in a long queue for themselves and mostly for their parents and elders in their family provided the vaccine to save their lives. Who will account for these young men and women whose careers are staring down the barrel? It is also shocking to think that the working class are reeling under pressure. While the poor are becoming poorer and the rich are becoming richer, some of the industrialists are featuring in this top list of the richest businessmen in the world, while India is reeling down at the end of the economic table among the countries in the world. If we leave everything else, COVID has certainly impacted the mental health of all and sundry. Senior citizens, one of the groups most at risk from coronavirus, have seen their mental health deteriorate significantly in the past months. This was in part due to loneliness and social isolation caused by restrictions brought into the curb, the spread of the virus. I'm not just elderly who are suffering. It's not just like that. Young people have lost jobs and employment opportunities. They have also seen their educations and training disrupted. Unable to cope with the immense stress of working amid the pandemic, frontline health workers and doctors have also taken their own lives. Many have to contend with stigma from their community and family, as well as their own concerns about getting infected. A doctor at a private hospital in India's capital city, Delhi, took his own life in early May this year. It becomes a high-profile incident as the doctor had saved hundreds of lives in April, but developed depressions in the face of rising number of coronavirus deaths. Some obedient media channels are saying that the virus has overwhelmed India's healthcare system. The system has not collapsed. It has never existed. This is what happens to a country with an almost non-existing public healthcare system. India spends about 1.25% of its gross domestic product on health, far lower than most countries in the world, even the poorest one. Yet India's healthcare system is brutally privatized. Healthcare is a fundamental right. The private sector will not cater to starving, sick, dying people who don't have money. The massive privatization is a crime. What we are witnessing today is an outright crime against humanity. Perhaps we can all our friends and relatives every day just to mark ourselves present, any roll calls in our classrooms. We speak to those who love in tears and with trepidations, not knowing if we will ever see one another again. We work, we live, not knowing if we will live to finish what we started, not knowing what horror and humiliation awaits us. This indignity of it all, that is what breaks up. In 2014, the big media houses and corporates helped Modi rise in India. So here are we now, in the hell of their collecting making with every independent institutions essential to the functioning of democracy compromised, brutalized, and terrorized, while the virus and the downwards springing of our economy is going out of control. There is a hashtag trending, Modi must resign. Is mere raising being an atonement to crimes committed? Definitely not. But perhaps we can take a break. We can fight and save the rest of us with whatever we have now. So from this situation, what I can conclude, in view of the hazards as above, we need a global solution. We need world socialism right now and here. This requires a worldwide revolution that depends on two separate conditions. First one is objective, that is global productive abundance, which is remaining present since about a century ago. And the second one is subjective, that is the global class consciousness majority. The revolutionary organization, the World Socialist Movement, has remained ready since the beginning of the past century, whereas working class consciousness is yet to emerge as a revolutionary force. Hence, our task is raising class consciousness. Thank you all.